We're going to talk about the fact that you actually brought up the issue of the Taylor X trial. But before we get into that, again, can you kind of get into the issues of how she was thinking about chemotherapy, where chemotherapy fit in with her, and would the Oncotype, forgetting the Taylor trial, be something that might change what you or your oncologist might do?
Well, she felt very ambivalent about chemotherapy. Again, she was very motivated towards continuing this lifestyle. And she's one of these women. In fact, she did quote to me that 60 is the new 50. And so she was very, very anxious to do that. By the same token, she didn't want to give up any opportunity for cure. And she recognized that breast cancer recurrence would be associated with ultimate mortality, likely from breast cancer.
Now, was she like on the internet trying to get information, or was she kind of turning to you?
Well, typical of many of the patients we all see today, she did have a significant background in cruising the internet, and she did raise questions about whether there are any kind of predictive tests that would help.
So that's when you brought up the trial.
Right. Well, when I see patients at the front end, we talk about local, regional, systemic management of their disease right at the beginning so that they have a sense of understanding of what's coming down the line. And I think in that setting, I also mentioned the value that historical clinical trials have given us, that she is building her treatment on the backs of many tens of thousands of women who've participated in studies. So when we had her information back, it became quite reasonable to turn around and say, look, we have a test that appears to work well. You've all just seen the data. It's been reasonably well validated. But there's an area where there's still some questions. Would you have an interest in participating in a study like this? If you participate in Taylor X, you're essentially indemnified against any cost of the assay. When the assay comes back, if you're in the low-risk category, you get to, as Chuck showed you, you get to get the hormonal therapy of your choice. If you end up in the high-risk group, you get hormonal therapy and chemotherapy, and of course, if you're in the intermediate risk, that's the group we're most interested in teasing out the advantages.
And so what did she decide to do?
Well, she was willing to participate in the trial, and in fact, she did. And when the assay was sent off, we got a recurrence score of 25, which put her just on the top end of the intermediate risk category. And she was, in fact, randomized to receive hormonal therapy and cytotoxic therapy.
Now, Hope, this is really an interesting situation, which we haven't dealt with really in medical oncology for a long time, which is asking a woman to agree to allow the computer to flip a coin about whether she's going to get chemo or not. Pretty provocative situation. How do you find people responding to it, Hope?
Being on the opposite face of the United States, we really are a very different population of patients, and I think that overall patients that we talk to are very enthusiastic about the study, but they are less enthusiastic about being randomized to receive chemo or not. They want to decide about the use of chemotherapy. So we have actually enrolled several patients in the study, but in Northern California in general, we find it quite difficult to randomize to chemo or not. I think the study, however, it's going to give us a huge amount of information. Is really important. And, you know, for all of us who've been treating breast cancer patients for many years, we're not going to give a postmenopausal woman who has a 0.8 centimeter ERPR positive tumor chemotherapy, and yet we may be in that situation really under-treating somebody. So it's very important to figure that out. I really would applaud you for enrolling the patient in the trial and getting this additional information.
So this patient actually, as Hope said, very likely probably wouldn't have gotten chemotherapy with a 0.8 centimeter ER-positive tumor. Now she's going to get chemotherapy. How does she feel about being randomized to chemo?
Well, because she ended up essentially at the cutoff point for intermediate to higher risk, I think it was an easier choice for her. I have to say that even I'm uncomfortable when I get a patient with a recurrence score of 12, which would be low risk by traditional commercial assay, and randomizing such patients. But we all agreed when we were going to do this trial to be very, very conservative, and that's why those cutoff points were chosen.
So if she had been randomized to no chemo, you think she would have said, well, you know, I don't know, maybe I ought to drop out and get the chemo?
No, I think she would have gone ahead and done it.
Okay, so she goes into that, and is she already treated at this point with the chemo?
Well, she is, but of course, because, as we've said, we're big advocates of clinical trials, we also did discuss another trial with her. And the other trial we discussed was NSABP-B39, which is a trial of partial breast irradiation versus whole breast irradiation. And of course, for women who enter that trial and randomize to partial breast irradiation, they get that treatment prior to any cytotoxic chemotherapy.
So this woman, amazingly, now has participated in two extremely important studies. And what do you think her main motivation was to participate?
Well, you know, this was a woman, as I mentioned, that was already very actively involved in charitable work in the community. She feels it's very important to give back. She's led a fortunate life. She's well-to-do. She's active. And I think that this was another way of doing that. And I think presenting to her at the very beginning that her treatment choices are really based on women who've participated in trials and that we won't move forward without them was very, very helpful.
Mel, did you want to comment?
The only mistake in this case was ordering this test, because you finally got a perfect patient that you don't have to treat. She's got an 8-millimeter intermediate grade tumor, widely excised, ER and PR positive. She's perfect for an aromatase inhibitor. If you look at the TABAR data, this kind of woman has a 20-year, 95% survival. I don't think you're going to improve it with chemotherapy. And so now you're stuck in a terrible corner, giving her AC. I'd go out and get a mamma print on her, and maybe you can get her off the hook.
Well, now let me ask you, suppose her oncotype had come back as high.
But you know what, Mel, what's interesting about that is that, as I say to the patient, you know, these are statistics, right? This is not the individual. And I think that although we don't know, the reason why she's being randomized is because we don't know the answer to that question, what to do with the women in the intermediate risk group, and potentially these kinds of patients, the benefit from chemotherapy is indeed quite modest. But I think there are people, there is that 5%, and maybe we're picking out that 5%, so the benefit is much greater in that group, as opposed to the traditional way of looking at it. If you look at, well, if you have a 95%, we can't really improve much on that. If you're picking out a group of patients that really has an 80% or 85%, maybe we can.